The Army gets back to cleaning up the old Haynes Fuel Terminal site, and one candidate for Haynes manager drops out of the running. It's a KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The U.S. Army Alaska is trying to jumpstart a citizens' participation group about the Haynes Fuel Terminal restoration. The Restoration Advisory Board, or RAB, has been in existence since the late 90s, when remediation began at the site of the old Haynes Fuel Terminal at Tanani Point. The site was a terminal for the Haynes-Fairbanks pipeline built in the mid-50s to transport fuel to Fort Wainwright in Fairbanks. The pipeline was shut down 17 years later. Then the site was used until 1989 for fuel storage. The Army and state began efforts to clean up leaked fuel at the site in 2003. But according to the Sheldon Museum, a study commissioned by the Chilkoot Indian Association later found those efforts lacking. The study suggested as much as 2 million gallons of fuel could be present in the groundwater under the facility. That prompted a more intense cleanup program, but those efforts stalled in recent years, as did RAB activity. Brian Adams with the Army is the new project manager for the site. He said a restructuring of the U.S. Army Alaska and the Army Environmental Center, which is the headquarters for these projects, halted the project for a few years. The RAB last met in 2010, he says. But the project is once again starting up, and that means the Army wants to and is required to try to reestablish the RAB as well.
We encourage it. We need it because it helps us do our job.
The RAB usually has 15 to 20 members, although some members have since passed away or moved away since the board last met. Anne-Marie Palmieri is the state representative on the board. She said the RAB is an important link between the community and the Army for major cleanup projects, like the Haynes Fuel Terminal, that lasts years. Adams said the Army and Corps of Engineers has already been back at work at the site. This fall, contractors started the air sparging system back up. Adams explains.
And what that system was doing was pushing air into the ground to create a way for bacteria to work on the contamination.
And the results from that testing will then get presented to the RAB and Haynes community.
So what the contractor did was he went in, he did a pre-sampling because the system had been shut down, so they did a sampling of a pre-start. And then in October, first part of October, he went back because he started the system, got it running, and gave it time to operate. And he's gone back in October to do more sampling. And then we're looking for a RAB meeting in December to present that data to the Haynes community and to the RAB.
The RAB meets in public, but the Army and RAB can also hold public meetings in communities with cleanup sites. Adam says he hopes if they get enough new members to fill out the board, the RAB could hold another meeting here in December. Adam said he's had several people express interest in joining the RAB board. Connie Storch with Garrison Public Affairs at Fort Wainwright said the Army is looking for anyone with interest and especially knowledge of the site to join the RAB.
There's quite a history of knowledge that people can bring to the table that even precedes the existence of the pipeline, and we certainly welcome that.
The Army was hoping to have those interested in joining the RAB contact them by late last week, although inquiries can still be made to Ann Rydessel at 208-557-0843 or through a link on our KHNS News website with this report. About 40 Skagway residents attended a meeting about the West Creek Master Plan on Friday, according to planning company Scheinberg & Associates. And for those not able to attend, the presentation materials are now posted on the web. Scheinberg & Associates has been working on the planning project for more than 3,000 acres of municipal entitlement lands that Skagway will soon receive from the state. The preliminary alternatives plan is out for public review and comment through November 22nd. Among the materials are the 14 major themes and recommendations for the preliminary alternatives and maps with ownership, trails, and proposed new trails sketched out. Those can also be used to mark up ideas submitted in public comment. There's also some history of the area with a summary of the community opinion surveys from 2010 and 2013 in the packet. The themes for the recreation and resources of the area include managing the area as a nearby accessible place that screams, "This is Alaska," a place where Skagway residents can escape from the tourist crowds with no commercial tours and no residential land disposal. Some new trails in conjunction with firewood gathering, an informal shooting range, a new remote recreation zoning district, and a decision on a hydro facility at West Creek. The next steps in the process include reviewing the comments received and preparing a draft West Creek area plan for review by the Planning Commission in January. To see the meeting packet from the November 1st presentations and the preliminary plan alternatives, visit the Scheinberg Associates website or find a link to the site on our KHNS news page with this report. Paper copies can also be picked up at the City Hall window counter. Some of the Haynesboro Assembly met last week to interview four candidates for the borough manager position. They are scheduled to meet Monday night to discuss how to continue with the hiring process. However, their job may be a little easier now that one of those four candidates has withdrawn his candidacy. Jim Pascal of New Jersey sent a short letter to the borough over the weekend that read, "After careful consideration, he didn't believe he and Haynes would be a good fit for one another." He did not return an email by the end of the day Monday from KHNS News to elaborate on what affected his decision. Pascal had the most municipal experience of the four candidates interviewed and arguably the most experience of the 20 applicants that originally applied. He served 30 years as administrator in Princeton, New Jersey before retiring last year. In his interview, he said he and his wife were looking for a new experience. They visited Sitka when he was a finalist for the administrator job there earlier this year. Of the applicants the borough received, Pascal seemed to be of interest to the assembly and one of the top candidates to continue on in the process. Pascal's withdrawal comes after KHNS News and the Chilkat Valley News aired or published stories about the assembly's discussion of the candidates after their interviews. It's not clear if those reports had any weight in Pascal's decision. Mayor Stephanie Scott said she hadn't talked to Pascal personally since the interviews. We'll bring you an update on what the Assembly decides Monday evening during its Committee of the Whole meeting about the manager position. You probably already know about mountain ash trees. They're all over Southeast, known for their red berries that attract flocks of birds. Here's a different story about a different kind of ash tree, one recently discovered in a big pile of volcanic debris. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld has this story.
Word came late summer of an unusual natural relic found near the Mount Edgecombe volcano just west of Sitka. So a group of scientists and friends headed out for a look. University of Alaska botanist Kitty Labounty says it was a scramble.
They kind of led us through this big pile of, you know, logs and all that back up into a creek area where the bank had been cut enough away that you could see this pretty amazing tree.
What they found was upright and largely intact, but it wasn't petrified.
It actually looked like a tree, like a charcoal tree, but the outline was pretty amazing. And when you looked up at it up close, you could see all the structure in the tree. You could see where some of the roots were, some of the branches. You could see knots actually still in the structure of the tree.
It was embedded in pumice, an extremely porous rock created during explosive volcanic eruptions. Now you may know pumice as a rough granular stone sold as a cosmetic and used to scrape away dried skin. Geologist Jim Bechtel says this pumice fell as powder, grain, and rocks, and it quickly buried the tree.
It looks like it's still in growth position, but it was so hot that it basically completely charcoalized the tree in place.
And it didn't fall apart because it was held in place by the pumice until now.
From the geology point of view, the exciting part is this is the first time we'll be able to directly date that eruption.
Bechtel says the volcanic material came from Crater Ridge, one of several volcanic features near Mount Edgecombe. He's sent off some pumice and charred wood for testing.
We've got enough samples that we can get the chemistry of what the eruption was, and that will tell us too, because each of those individual vents has a slightly different chemistry.
Bechtel says the information will be added to existing research on the volcanoes of Khrushchev Island, where Crater Ridge and Mount Edgecombe stand. It will also help shape a larger view of the many volcanoes, cinder cones, and lava flows found in southeast Alaska. Scientists already know the massive weight of Ice Age glaciers, which used to cover most of southeast, pushed down the region's landforms, and as they melted and retreated, it rose back up.
And we're thinking that the eruptions are tied to fractures opening and closing with the warping of the Earth's crust at or soon after deglaciation.
From a geologist's perspective, southeast remains volcanically active. Its most recent lava flow, north of Ketchikan, happened around the 1800s. The region continues to see shrinking glaciers and thinning ice fields, but Bechtel says it's not on a large enough scale to expect eruptions anytime soon. This is Ed Schoenfeld, reporting from Sitka.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Ed Schoenfeld for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.